You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch, everybody, as you always are here on LA Talk Radio on Tuesdays, 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, of course, wherever you're at around the world listening and viewing. Welcome to the couch. Today, another amazing special guest. There she is, Sherry Salata. Hey, how are you?
Oh, so good.
Oh, good. It's so nice to have you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I know a lot of my listeners who are pretty enlightened folks, spiritual folks, and they've learned a lot. I think they're going to share with me things on the couch. And I know that they've heard about you and who you are. And I'm sure they've also heard about your book, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. As well as your workshop and so many other things, enlightenment, transformation, and helping other people as well. So let's just kind of start out. I know we were just talking about how I could give you the introduction and it would last about 30 minutes. So I'm going to make it quick and dirty here because folks know who you are, I believe, but you all know that Sherry Salata is an author, speaker, producer. Her action-packed days as executive producer of the Oprah Winfrey shows were chronicled in the acclaimed docuseries. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was really awesome to watch because it was called Season 25, Oprah Behind the Scenes. Sherry Sessions, Harpo Studios, and also own, you know, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Sherry's been named one of Fast Company's 100 most creative people in business, the Hollywood Reporter's Women in Entertainment Power 100, and a Feminist Press Power Award winner. And wow, Sherry. Okay.
Wow, that sounds good.
You know, but today I'm talking about your amazing career and your insightful book, The Beautiful No. Here it is, guys.
There it is.
Ah, this is beautiful. You talk about inspirational books. And what's really cool about it, it's got her stories, her journeys, her lessons, and there's a workbook in the back so y'all can fill it out and find out more about yourselves.
That's right.
Talking about that and how you can really, you're going to level up. Once you read this book, you're going to level up. And also take Sherry's workshop. We're going to be talking about that as well. By the way, your workshop is really helping a lot of folks out, and you're going to be offering.
It's a free workshop. We are going to give you a little gift at the end of our chat.
Woohoo! Let's do it, and we'll be doing that at the end of the show. So don't you go anywhere because you're going to want to learn what we're talking about too, because it's really important. So we're going to talk about The Beautiful No, and the subtitle here is And Other Tales of Trial, Transcendence, and Transformation. And trial and transformation here on the show right now live. So let's just jump into it. Why did you name your book The Beautiful No? What's that all about?
Yeah, The Beautiful No, the title, that's the title of my memoir, and a foundational spiritual principle, which is, it's the story of how I first didn't get the job at the Oprah, and then I did get the job. What I learned from that was a really big opportunity that I was really hoping for didn't come through. And a couple years into my Oprah career, I realized, oh, if I would have gotten that other job, none of this would have happened. And this has turned out to be, you know, quite a story in my life.
Wow. So that other job they offered you a great gig and you said no, right? You said no.
Oh. I went for the interview. I went for the interview and I thought it was going to, I mean, I wanted that job so bad. I can't even tell you. I would not have said no. That's the problem. And he literally almost offered me the job in the room. And then a week later, I got a letter from the human resources department, the form letter saying, oh, we're sorry, we're not hiring at this time. So they said no to me. And it turned out to be the most beautiful no I'd ever gotten.
I love it. So out of the blue to tell her story, all of a sudden you get this call or this email from.
Well, I get the email from the Oprah show. Yeah. And I had applied earlier. I had applied once. They had turned me down, said, you know, your advertising experience isn't what we're looking for. And so after this big dramatic no, I got the message that they were cleaning out a closet, found a resume, and that was the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. So you were there and proved yourself to be amazing. Yeah. And then you were offered a much higher level job. And what was it you said in your book that I found so cool that you can share with us? What did Oprah say to you when you asked her, why me, right?
Yeah, it was a shock. I didn't see that one coming. It was a shock. I to be made the executive producer of, you know, at the time, one of the most popular shows on the planet. And and I didn't come up through in the studio in a traditional way. I was a promo producer. So I was very, very surprised. And I really wanted to know why, because I thought she was making a terrible mistake. And I said, please write down why me. And she said, because you know my heart. And that was my North Star. As I took that very hallowed executive producer seat and did my best to lead the team to finish up the last 5 years of that spectacular legacy.
Oh man. Well, you rocked it. I mean, and what's so cool, I just love about you too, is you're so humble. I mean, you've met, as you explained, you know, in your book, you've met, interviewed, spent time with, learned everything. I mean, for God's sakes, Deepak Chopra, give me a break. Read this book and be inspired to embark on your own journey of emotional and spiritual familiarity.
Oh, he wrote a blurb. Yes.
I love the blurb.
He wrote a blurb.
But come on, Deepak, are you kidding me? So it's like, you're humble. You've been through such an amazing journey and been so inspired by others and done and been there and around the world. And yet you are so humble and peaceful. You're not, you're real. You keep it real.
That's so nice.
And it's such a pleasure.
Well, I'm going to say that was maybe perhaps the company benefit that very, very shortly in my tenure there, that became the most valuable of all, that I was going to be paid to build the spiritual life, that I was going to be paid to listen to the greatest minds and thought leaders of our time share their wisdom. And I'd like to tell you, as I took all my notes, you know, I transformed my life right on the spot, but nothing could be further from the truth.
Right. Right.
Because I had my pattern set. I had my unworthiness patterns and my confusion between achievement and worthiness and my patterns of not making my self-care a priority and my patterns of not managing or regulating my energy and my nervous system. So it was only after that I could see, oh, now I get what everybody was talking about.
Right. No, exactly. Well, I mean, my God, you worked how many hours a day? That was your life. You had to have that life.
It was action packed. Let me say that.
Yes. How exciting. And everyone's so, you know, envious and thinking, oh, this is just what an incredible thing. And but now you say that this is more of an incredible part of your life because what you learned from it and who you become. So it's about self-neglect, you know, sometimes. I mean, we get into this kind of, you know, we're focused and strict and we forget, oh yeah, that's right. I've got to take care of me.
And here's the headline from, you know, in for many people, that career, that was kind of a summit moment, right? A mountaintop moment. And I will not be the first person or the last person to say that from that experience, it's not all that you think it's going to be. Right. You know, if you think achievement and worthiness, achievement is worthiness and achievement is love. Hmm. It isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't. And that is the eye-opening, heart-opening message, which is,
yeah.
And the achievement thing is really only super fun if you have internalized and done that personal work where you understand loving yourself most is the clarion call. That really is job one. And when you do that well, you can have the dream come true life along with the dream come true career.
Wow. That is so true. That's beautiful. Well said. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle here. My special guest, Sherry Salata. She has written a beautiful book called The Beautiful No. Inspirational. Her life journey. Being the executive producer of the Oprah Show and the president of the OWN Network and Harpo Productions, etc. Everyone in the world, filling the world, having La Vida Loca. But in reality, she learned a lot about herself on the journey, and she's sharing with us her story and other tales of trial, transcendence, and transformation. Got to pick up the book, because not only is it her personal journey and her lessons helping you all out, see, that's what it's about. But she also has a workbook in the back. There's little things that you can think about yourselves. She asks questions, things to ponder.
Yeah, I love that so much. My publisher is brilliant and allowed for the paperback edition. I'd really like people to be able to make this about them and ask those questions of themselves. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, that's neat. Thank you for saying it. Not to get back into negative things or anything like that, but I mean, in your story, what Brene Brown says something like, shame and light cannot exist.
Yeah.
Or coexist together.
Coexist, yeah.
And the thing is that it's so true. So did you find that you had to go back to your early background, your environmental stuff and what you had to deal with, or how you felt about yourself, and work through that and go forward?
Yeah. And I continue to investigate. Mm-hmm. I continue to look at, patterns and what the root of the patterns were. I love Brené's work and literally the process of writing this memoir and then coming out and talking about it is bringing light to shame. So, it was probably the most difficult thing was I'm a behind the scenes person.
Yeah.
I'm not in the front of the house, so to speak, or I wasn't. And so being able to speak, honestly, vulnerably about my own sources of shame, my shame stories, my failures, the ways in which I had mostly let myself down was, was uncomfortable. Sure. It was uncomfortable until I had the Brené Brown effect, where all of a sudden I'm like, wow, the more I talk about this, the better I feel. And I realized that it is connective tissue. It doesn't shame me into the corner. All it does is it shows me that everybody has their shame luggage. And the more talk about it, we can get to another vulnerability and not isolated, in our sadness or grief.
It's so true, And so was there a turning point in your life, like you said, the summit moment or whatever,
Yes. It's not a moment. It's a turning time, shall we say, a turning period where you can no longer, I could no longer deny the fact that I was not as happy as I should be or could be.
Wow.
That, I, the choices I continued to make kept stacking up on the unhappiness line, on the unhappiness side of the fence. And it didn't, it didn't sense that stage of my life. And to not be continuing to expand my consciousness, to open my heart, to consider new possibilities and adventures. I look back on it, it was kind of a moment of like a spiritual rut.
Yeah.
You know, a spiritual rut. And I'm like, oh my God, is this it? Yeah. Is this it? Because what happens if I live another 40 years, for God's sakes? So, you know, and how much time do I think I have?
Yeah.
How much time? Maybe I have 40 years. Maybe I've got 24 hours, but you know, you gotta dream your life like you're going to have another 40 and then live it like you might just like today's the only day you're going to get. So, There was an increasing sense of dis-ease and discontent.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first order of business for me, once I could clear the decks and, you know, just clear out a clogged calendar and to-do list that was driving my life, that I did it.
Yes. You know,
I made my life's drivers.
Yes.
To do a very thorough process that I call the reckoning.
Oh, I love it.
Which was really going area by area and looking at, okay, what have I created so far?
Right.
With my tenderest, gentlest voice, not my harsh, mean voice.
Sure.
My tender, and what is it that I would like to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went area by area. And, you know, sometimes it was like, woo, you got it. You did so great. You're doing great. And sometimes it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, right.
9/11 emergency. you know, send the fire trucks. This is a disaster. And so I could just start to see, okay, here's what, let's get conscious about what we've created in our life so far. And let's think about this being piece, this being piece that I haven't given thought to for so long because I was just too busy checking my to-do list.
Yeah.
Well, who is it you want to be?
Yes.
And from that being place, what kind of life can you create?
Yeah, exactly. And I, at the back of the book, as I mentioned, The Beautiful Now, the book, you can really fill in some things. And these are, it really gives you a lot of, you know, pondering about yourselves.
Yeah.
What's the current story of your life? Let's bring it down. Bring it down. You know, write those things down.
Yeah.
And this is heavy, but on the tombstone is one big headline, the lead story of your life. What's it going to say? That's some heavy stuff to think about.
That's one of my favorites. That's the one that snaps you into consciousness, which is, famed experts have used this over the years. This is not my original idea, but it's called the tombstone exercise. And you write down in a sentence, what is the headline of your life right now. And so for me, it was, and I was like, that would be the headline of my life right now. And what is it that I would want it to be? And it's like Sherry Salata, she lived the life of her dreams, which is different. Sure. It is doing meaningful work and exciting work and creative work, but that is just a smattering. That's just a few ingredients into a fully baked, fully created, considered life.
Right.
Which is like, and let me just tell you what, some of my favorite moments of my life today are the blank ones.
Oh, I love that.
The white space.
So yeah, that's right. White space. You know, it's just sort of, there's an adventure. New things.
Oh my gosh. Listen, it makes those other moments so special when I can just have a blank space.
Right.
To look out a window. Yes. To hear the sound of my own breath. Right. Just to like slow down my heart rate. Those are some of my most favorite moments because they set the other moments up so beautifully. You know, for 20 years, it was and longer than that.
Yeah.
It was strung together high energy moments.
Right.
You know, without any quiet to frame it. Right. So it's just like, it just feels like madness and chaos.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Exactly. Beautifully said. Thank you for that. Oh, man. So in that, we also have to ask ourselves, what things are we willing to let go of?
Yeah.
You know, that we are always filling the space with noise, right. Sound, people, you know, excitement, that kind of thing. What are we willing to let go of? And that's a hard one because I think, you know, we become, I guess, as Dr. Dispenza told me, he said, you know, we become habituated in our neural patterns to almost become robots. And we're always, you know, we're sure. always.
I'm a student of Dr. Dispenza's as well. I mean, I think he's the bomb. He's so great.
He's the bomb. I know.
Yeah, he's so great. Yeah. So I do his meditations, and really it is, how do we break out of those patterns that keep creating the same result, the same life over and over and over again? And that was most definitely true for me. That it was just like, oh my gosh, you're just waking up. It's the same day. It's the same reactive self. You know, just pulling the same situations, creating the same thing over and over again, instead of, you know, being excited about the opportunity to transform and change and to create out there in the ethers, in the other dimension, not the third dimension, creating this glorious future and just kind of summoning it right to you, which is, you know, turns out to be the most exciting and joyful way to live.
God, yeah, I agree, Sherry.
Yeah.
It's so true. And also, you know, talking about Dispenza, when we apply those scientific, you know, applications as well, when we know that we form these neural patterns, we become addicted to the drama. We become addicted to the emotion. Yes. You know, so
it is such a chemical thing. And you know what else I think we do? I think, and it is because it's a chemical reaction that's taken place that's in, you know, running our feelings, but we mistake that high drama and chaos for the life force.
Yes.
We think that that's, oh, that's the life force. I feel alive. That's passionate. And it's not. You know, it is what it is. It's chaos. It's unregulated nervous systems. It's not being able to manage stress because ultimately and generally most people experience some sort of breakdown, whether it's a physical breakdown or an emotional breakdown or something because it's not life force, exciting and high energy. And sometimes it is like a river flowing through you, a gentle, you know, a knowing.
Yes.
There's different cadences,
right.
Different speed. The life force is exactly what you need at any given time.
Yes.
And you can't line up with it when you're a chaos addict.
Oh boy, is that true?
Isn't that true?
And that there is the difference, you know, exactly. There's the life force out there in the 3D. As my Gaia friends say, you know, there's that life force. And then there's the 4 and 5D, you know, and it's all, and it's connecting to that and all that photonic energy of the universal consciousness and blah, blah, blah. But it's real. I mean, it really is connecting with that higher self. within ourselves.
That's right.
You know, and you nail it in your book too. And going through those different questions that you have readers ask themselves, that's the journey right there. I mean, those are the questions a lot of times people don't, you know, ask themselves because they are so addicted to the repetitive thoughts every day.
Well, and here's a perfect example. So here was something that was really powerful for me mm-hmm. in terms of rethinking and revisioning mm-hmm. like how I wanted to inhabit this life experience. And I took a look at the old someday list.
Yeah.
You know, yes. We all have them. You know, we've been storing them up forever. And some of them are like, you know, like the ancient text with all dusty dust blowing on them. And mine was the same. So I blew the dust off my, right, like a Magna Carta. Blew the dust off and updated or thought about in forever. And there were things on it that I had no interest in it anymore.
Yep.
You know, there were things that was, you know, it was when I was 20, I wanted to do that. Or when I was 27, I wanted to do that. And none of those things were applicable anymore. And so I just like, okay, let me do some someday list work. And right. Let me just edit out everything that no longer applies. And let me just dream up some new things I want to put on the list. And then, and this is the key, let me just take one of those things and let me put some energy around it.
Yes.
You know, for thousands of people I've been working with a lot, you know what they put off? They put off the trips and the traveling. So I'm like, okay, well, let's pick one of them.
Yes.
You don't have to. And before you tell me how you can't afford it, you don't have money for the big robbery.
Right.
You know, just get to Googling. Yeah. Do a little Googling of information and get some energy going around it and watch what happens.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's the craziest thing. Next thing you know, someone's calling them. Hey, do you want to go here with me? I got an extra ticket. What?
Yeah.
Just get some, because the fun of it is the dreaming. The dreaming is part of the creating of the result.
That's it. Beautifully said, Sherry. No, it's so true. And that's, you know, along with the whole concept, the law of attraction. But you have to visualize, you have to have imagery of your future. You have to kind of define what you want and then image it and see it. But most importantly is feel it.
Yeah.
The brain doesn't know the difference between being there actually physically in the 3D and you in your mind fully in ecstasy, feeling it just sort of, right.
It's like you have to go back to the kid in you and let's pretend this is real. Let's pretend. And listen, for a lot of us, learning how to use that dream muscle again, it takes some work, because we've been like, don't waste your time daydreaming. And you've got too much to do. And we've been so busy that I literally had to schedule daydream time in my calendar.
Yes. Good.
Just
for you.
To remind myself that this is important to you.
Yes. God, it really is. And he's grabbing on to that old, you know, theta brainwave. When we lose it, what, about 7 or 8 years of age, we go into the full frontal lobe of analysis. And we lose all the fun and the dreaming and the excitement. We get lost in everything out there, right? And also, you know, there is media on everyone and, you know, what we're supposed to be like and how we're supposed to appear and how... that really is tough to, I think, for a lot of folks to have to live up to all of that. Everyone's having wonderful times. My Facebook shows how exciting I am, and my Instagram, I'm so, you know.
But in a way, like, listen, there certainly was no social media when I was growing up, but I could also see my mom influenced in her own thinking by imagining that everybody's life was going better.
Right.
No other families had any problems. There was nobody struggling, you know, because everybody was putting on the non-vulnerable face for one another. And so everybody secretly felt bad about themselves, like they weren't measuring up because of that level of vulnerability and connection.
Wow. Really well said. And, you know, you also, and that also comes into how we feel about our bodies and how we feel about our appearances.
Oh, that. For sure.
You look marvelous. You look, you have done so much, you know, work inner and taking care of yourself and just finding out what's going to work for you to feel better about you. And you look beautiful. So, I mean, can you talk a little bit about how you bought into some of that old stuff about not feeling enough about you? And
I mean, I think, you know, when I traced it back, I could see that beauty story,
right?
That tragic beauty story starts like on the playground when you just start assessing who has the power. What is powerful? How is beauty defined? And do you measure up or not? And oftentimes, and this is generation, you know, we'll adjust what I'm saying here generationally. It's, you know, probably more for women my age or in the middle of life, had a little tougher time with this because, nobody trained us to fall in love with our own beauty.
Right.
Nobody was saying you're so beautiful and you're so gorgeous and, you know, and just, and you're great just the way you are.
Right.
Listen, my mom, from the time she could, you know, get me on 2 feet, was trying to mold me into something that would be presentable instead of being okay with the way I was. That was the time.
Right.
She was not trained. My grandmas weren't trained. Right. Nobody was trained.
Nope.
Nobody had this new image. So I blame no one.
Is it ever?
It's deep. True. And finally, I realized that you will always be hoping, wishing, chasing something that really truly isn't as important to you as you have made this out to be. And the only person who can anoint you in your own physical beauty is really you.
Yes.
Oh. You are the beholder in that mirror.
Yes.
So until you say, oh my darling self,
you are
a great beauty, you are just going to be standing by waiting for, because you believe no compliment anybody tells you. So it is definitely a thing of, I would say this, here, as my ongoing journey tells me this, that you have to stay in body, meaning the minute you just become a bobblehead and you're out of your body, instead of stretching and moving and really appreciating being inside your physical apparatus. That is key. Anointing yourself, really just declaring for your own beauty for yourself and reminding yourself of that. And even like in looking at beautiful, let's say beautiful people out in the world or on Instagram, as you were saying, you know, I've learned to say this little thing for myself. I want some of that. I want some of that. Instead of going into my neural pathways, comparing myself unfavorably. And telling myself so. So I just say, some that looks good. I want that.
Exactly. And we can pick and choose, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just, this is, oh, I vibe to that. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a really good idea. That. Yeah. I remember my mom always saying, you know, growing up from, ever since I was programmed, me and my sister, little kids, oh my God, she's so nice and slim, looking at other girls, you'd probably be better off if you wore these colors or these stripes, because you know that hence 18 I was anorexic, so
well, you can feel the lack of acceptance.
Right.
You're not okay the way you are. You're not okay the way you are, and I'm worried about what other people will think about you. And then so those patterns get laid, and you're trying to rebel against it and say, no, I don't want to be that, and I don't want to care what other people think. Right. And yet underneath that, it gets that very, those complex patterns that take a while and some work to peel back and say,
yeah,
where did that, who says, and where did that come from?
Right. Exactly. And it's just all information we gather and little things that we learn about perhaps not being enough from our caregivers, growing up and then looking around the world and yada, yada. And how we just bring it into ourselves and then, ooh, it gets deeper. And then we lose ourselves in other things.
So like true.
Jobs and status and, that kind of thing. So it's just, it is the beautiful no is lovely. By the way, guys, Sherry Salata, my special guest today, has written this book. It's an awesome book. It's really about her other tales of trial, transcendence, and transformation. And you too can get it. Just go to Amazon, check it out. It's beautiful. And also information, if you would like to know how to work through some of your stuff, there's a workbook in the back. You can actually write out some of your answers. Very intriguing thoughts to ponder about yourself and also to really learn about yourself.
Yeah.
And your workshop as well that you're offering for people. What a cool idea. Oh my God. Can you talk about your workshop a little bit?
Yeah. This is a special workshop called Design Your Life. And what I realized is I took some of my producing skills and I put together a 5-day workshop that literally leads you through how to layer in practices, how to be reckoning, to kind of see where you're at, do some dream storming to see where you want to be, and layering in with some practices there so you can take a look at what you've created so far and give some thought to how you'd like to live your life going forward, making small changes that have amazing impact. So that's at sherrysalata.com/design. And it's free. It's free.
Ooh. And to all listeners and viewers.
Yes.
You just said the magic word. It is free and you can learn how to design your life. That's so lovely of you to offer this, just to give and share and help folks out. So it's really, there is some deep work. 5 days is doable.
it's 5 hours. It's 5 hours. So it's really, I suggest you do just one delicious hour a day, but it'll get you thinking about your life differently. And it's the beginning. It's the beginning. Like, you know, that moment, and I know you do, that moment where you start to get a little hope stirred up, especially if you've been in the doldrums, you've been in a rut, you feel like you don't know how to get yourself out of it. Yeah. You can just get a little hope going, just a little bit. All of a sudden, what's possible can seem so much different.
Yes, exactly. It's the possibilities. And again, I think it's that sense that so many people have of, I don't know if it's I'm not worthy or I don't deserve. It's okay for me to view and to observe others' happiness and successes, but I never embraced it that I could have it. And I think so many people I'm trying to help, trying to work what it is.
Do you think there's an impact of unprocessed disappointment.
Yeah.
It's that joy stealing, unprocessed disappointment that just starts to add up all the little disappointments, one after another. And next thing you know, you are vibrating in the energy of a disappointed person.
Yeah, sure.
And all of a sudden, you are disappointed in life and life is disappointing.
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. And, I think a lot of it, the reality is we always have these flashbulb moments, as they say, about the bad things or should have looked or whatever.
Right.
Because, it's old brain stuff, of course, it's survival mechanisms. Right. So we're going to be flashing on the, oh my God, got to be ready for this or have to be ready for that, or I should be. Those are more profound in our brain And I think it's really important, as you bring out in your book, The Beautiful No, that people have to start really thinking about the things that we have done and grown within and become enlightened, whatever that may be. What did I learn from this? Or what did I learn? And more so, love that which you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's old Ramtha stuff, you know? It's like, right. Love that which you are.
Well, what you're saying is so powerful that I don't think even until more recently that I understood that I have as a human being a propensity to focus on the negative because I got to stay alive. I got to run from the tiger. I got to get my food. I got to, and so that means what's the medicine for that? The medicine for that is you have to over focus on the positive. Yes. And I'd come up with little things that I could do to remind myself to stay conscious about that and say things like, okay, stop what you're doing right now. What's working?
Good for you.
Anywhere in your life, in your job, your car, your electricity, what's working?
Yeah.
What's working? And refocusing on what's working. This is working, and that so many things. You are overwhelmed with things that are working in your life.
Exactly. And again, you know, it is the survival thing. But you know, as we focus more on the but I did this, and it's not necessarily sure. It could be things that wonderful careers we've done and wonderful achievements we've made. But not only that, but you know, psychologically in that, wow, I spoke up for myself.
Yeah.
I shared my truth and I was so transparent and vulnerable that I broke down in front of some people who I was in a group with and I shared my deepest fear. Mm-hmm. Wow, good for me. Woohoo. You know, it's like, right? I mean, it's just looking at everything in a more positive manner. And just sort of focusing more on those in our lives rather than what we didn't do, what we should have done.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Listen, I think optimism is highly underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, I reach for it. I reach for it. And I'm sure there were times where like all of us can get in a complaining rut. We can get finding something that, you know, making ourselves disappointed, but optimism, that sense of knowing that there's a well-being that's happening and we can participate in that. Yes. You know, if we're willing to focus on all the beauty and the wonder and the joy. And, you know, for many, many years, I gave myself no time to do that. And then I'd wonder why, gosh,
right?
I don't feel as much joy as I think I should be feeling. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Oh, exactly. You know, and something on that note, I also think it's really important for people to understand that we need to go into our inner journey and find out a little bit more about us before we can find someone special in our life to save us or complete us. No one can complete us in our lives in a relationship until we're okay with ourselves. I think, and you know, that's a huge thing to learn too. You have touched on this as well in your life.
Yeah.
And in your book, you know.
Well, yes. And that endless search for the thing that will fill that worthiness hole, whether it be relationships, achievement, whatever, money, success, power, glory, whatever it might be. And none of those things will get the job done.
Yeah.
Because it's an inside job. And it is, you know, I like to say that problem, and only we can solve it. Nobody else can solve it. Exactly. And you know, it's different than, and again, I go back to the training, you know, I'm trained by a mom who wasn't trained, by a mom who wasn't trained. Yeah. And I have the opportunity because I have access
Yes.
We all have access now to such advanced emotional, psychological, spiritual resources and information. And these times are so amazing and exciting and expansive that we can be the end, the one who says, not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Not me, not participating in that, those destructive thought patterns anymore. I'm going to nobody else is going to define for me what my life should be. And I'm not going to really care what anybody else thinks.
Is that a heavy thing? I mean, is that lovely to get to a point where you say, you know, there's some toxic relationships or folks around me and I'm buying into it and I'm losing my own sense of self and kind of that, well, you know, you're also, in order to do what you have done, you have to be very empathic, you know? So sometimes when we're a little more empathic, we're just taking in that energy and we're losing that sense of self. So I think that's really important what you said too about, you know, really finding out what's right about our truth and our lives and who we need to kind of keep around us in our lives. And some of that negative vibe that we have hung on to for drama, we can let go of.
It's the great benefit of getting older.
Yeah.
It's the great benefit. You don't really care so much anymore. You're not willing to put up with so much anymore. You're not trying to like make everything work. I had this profound epiphany about 18 months ago. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think that I was this highly functioning codependent, you know, running around trying to make everybody happy, even though I was the boss.
Yeah.
You know, just trying, you know, like, how do you feel about me? Are you mad? Are you good? And I was like, wow, that's a long to-do list. Not only do I have to please myself, but, you know, a thousand other people too. It's impossible. It's impossible. So it's been so eye-opening to say, what does it mean to be authentic, to crown yourself queen and take your seat on the throne? What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means that I don't put up with anything anymore.
Yes. Yes.
Not a bit.
No.
Like, I'm like this. Okay. See ya. See ya. You know, and there's no hoops to jump through.
No
hoops to jump through.
And you know what else is you don't have to prove yourself and you don't have to defend. It's like you go, okay, that's cool. I love you for your truth and all that, but I don't really buy into that. But hey, God bless you.
That's right.
All right, everybody, it's about that time. Oh my gosh, it's gone so fast. Sherry, thank you so much for being on the couch.
I loved being on the couch. Thank you so much for having me.
You are lovely. By the way, don't forget to pick up Sherry's book, The Beautiful No. Other Tales of Trial, Transcendence, and Transformation. Not only is it a wonderful journey through her life, her lessons, some of the amazing people she's learned from, and also it's a workbook in the back. You get to fill in things. And also, Sherry's giving away a free 5-day workshop for you, Design Your Life. And Sherry, what is the best way folks can find that online?
SherrySalata.com/design. All totally right. Free.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Guys, you're going to transform your life. I'm telling you, go for it. And you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Let me know your experiences going through Sherry's workshop and also from reading her book as well. Sherry, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take good care. All right, everybody. Thanks for being on the couch. And don't forget, as I always say, do take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the one.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.